Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Erlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Raheel, along with Dell, now for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. Glad you could join us. Did you watch the Cougs game last night?
I did not watch the game. I did watch it this morning. Caught up. Was busy last night. It was Wednesday nights are Hayden's volleyball practices. So I was running around.
Are you you run that?
No. She's on a team. I drop her off and go play pickleball.
Oh, you play? That's your pickleball night.
That's my pickleball time. Drop her off. Because the team that she's on, they're very strict about parents being in the gym. So they put us in an external room, and you can watch it on TV. So I'm like, what am I doing? Might as well go do something with my time.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You have to watch them on, and I'll bet a lot of parents do watch the practice. A
couple of them. All of us did to start, and then we're like, all right, this kind of sucks.
This is boring.
We can't do anything. We can't helicopter parent here. So let's go out and do something.
We can't yell at the players to just ignore the coach and do what I told you to do.
That's been the hardest part for me is not yelling. Or not yelling, but like giving her feedback. Like she has to figure it out on her own, right? Afterwards.
Or the coach figures it out.
Yeah, of course. The coach. But, you know, as a parent, I'm very involved.
Right.
Like I train her. I watch film with her. I do all of this. I treat her like an athlete, right? So it's hard not to give my 2 cents, but that's part of it.
You guys watch film together?
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Isn't
that what she's going to do when she gets better and playing on better teams? They watch film. So teach her now.
Yeah. I guess. I couldn't get my kids to sit there and watch film. I don't know. Well, JT, but the girls, no. Well, they didn't care about anything, but that's funny.
Yeah.
You've been training her running sprints, and I mean you have regular workouts with her.
Yeah.
That's great.
I love it. So that's why I didn't get to watch it live. But man, that was dicey, and it just shows you how bad Baylor is this year. They went red hot first half.
Oh my God, they were great.
They were unbelievable.
Yeah.
And yet that game was still very manageable for the Cougs. Like they're like, oh, we're fine. We'll figure this out. And then that second half, man, that place was rocking. That was awesome.
It was great. The comeback was 13-0 run by the Cougs. It was just awesome. They just Sharp hit one. Uzan hit one. Kingston Fleming's in the middle. I mean, he's got a nice little – he drives the lane, pulls up, and hits a nice little – baby jumper. That's all nice. JoJo had a really big basket early on in that as well. So, yeah, that was troublesome, though, in that first half. I was like, holy, you got to be kidding me, guys. Really? You're going to be the 2 seed in the tournament. You're going to be a 2 seed in the big dance. And you guys are blowing this against Baylor. Baylor is Baylor. You know, Scott Drew, he had his run. It's not easy to have the kind of success that he had early on. It was different when there was no NIL because Scott Drew had his own NIL at the time. And it was Scott Drew NIL and then everybody else. And so they had a big advantage. But now everybody – it's just like Alabama. It's just like Alabama, Georgia. Now that everybody's got the NIL, it evens out the field. Indiana's can win national championships in football when everybody has NIL.
Yeah.
It's a big difference. Big difference. Scott Drew had his own deal. I emceed a thing during the NCAA tournament when it was the Final Four was here. And I was I wasn't emceeing, I was hosting a television show. and it was on Sports Channel. What Sports Channel Houston, whatever it was then. I forget what it was then. But I was interviewing all these coaches, and I had Scott Drew on, and Grant, the Arkansas coach, came up. After he was right after, and Scott Drew got up from the chair, and he went to shake his hand, and Grant wouldn't shake Scott Drew's hand.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, ooh, this is uncomfortable, very uncomfortable. I was just standing right in the middle of it. I was like, ooh, this is not good. But Scott Drew was not beloved by the other coaches
no.
for a long time because they knew, well, he brought in players from all over, and they knew how they got there. And so, but now, again, now, now that everybody can pay, it is a different deal. So you just got to. You got to coach better. You got to be better. And Kelvin Sampson and this program is just better.
Yeah.
Just better.
It just shows you how hard it is to sustain to being like a top team or to be thought of as one of the top teams, right? Because when you think of Baylor, you're like, man, they're going to be good every year. The last 4 years, they've been eliminated in the second round.
Yeah.
And, you know, they obviously had the championship in 2021.
They were great. That was a great team.
That was one of the best teams. The way they played, just the whole style was awesome.
Yeah.
But to sustain that, man, to get to Sweet 16s, like what Coach Sampson is doing, that is so hard, man. Yeah. But it could fall off at any point because that's just college basketball.
Well, and it's so funny. The money is so emphasized right now. And Kelvin Sampson has a program that de-emphasizes the money. They get paid, don't get me wrong, but they ain't going there. They can go anywhere. They don't have to be worked this hard. They don't have to be going to school. We got a soundbite from Kelvin Sampson, as a matter of fact. And, you know, if the guy's asking for money right away, he ain't going to be part of the program. Mm. He just ain't going to be part of the program. That's all. That's not what we're looking for here. We're looking for guys that want to be coached up hard. Chris Sinak coming here, as opposed to all of the other schools that he could have gone to, and Kingston Flemings, and Harwell. All these guys were considered the best in the country. And here is Kelvin Sampson getting them and working their asses off. And they know what they're in for when they come here. But it's a lot to do with parenting, and Kelvin Sampson said that. Here is, you got Kelvin? Not ready yet. Oh, it's not ready
it's
yet.
Coming okay. up in a second.
It's a different deal when you come to the University of Houston. How about they had a guy who actually spent 4.5 years here, in Emmanuel Sharp.
Yeah.
And they've got more on the way with JoJo Tugler and Ramon Walker. Ramon Walker didn't play, and he stayed here 4 years. I mean, how incredible. Like, when you don't play and you're a top player, when you're on a top team in the country and you don't play, you leave. And Ramon Walker sat here and watched. Mercy Miller is sitting here watching when he could be playing somewhere else. I mean, that's just incredible. That's a testimony to what Kelvin Sampson does here and good parenting as well. You know, they're saying, hey, listen, get your education, learn from Coach Sampson. You're going to be a man. When this is all over, it ain't just about basketball and how much money that you can make. It's about becoming a man.
Yeah, but if I was Ramon Walker and Mercy Miller, it'd be also, there's like a fine line of great, I'm going to learn, I'm going to do all that, but man, I get one shot at this. I get one run of being a college basketball player up to 6 years, and I kind of want to play a little bit, not just getting senior night minutes, like as a hey, man, thank you. Here's 3 minutes. I get out. We're trailing.
Yeah.
You know?
No,
that,
no.
That, like, I would. I also that, want a shot that, at that.
The look,
showing,
on, yeah. The look on Ramon Walker's face when he came in for Emmanuel Sharp at the end of the game, it was kind of sad because Ramon Walker was so bummed. He didn't get back into the game after that 3 minutes, after his first 3 minutes,
yeah,
after he started.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there is a fine line of. Okay, yeah. Cool. I do want to play minutes, though, if I'm going to stay and give my all to the program and go all out and practice. And I want a chance to showcase it as well. But that's part of sports, man. That's the unfortunate thing.
Yeah, JT Trent, you know, JT didn't feel like Rice was the right place for him, and he left. You know, if it's not the right place. But it was the right place for Ramon, and apparently it's the right place for Mercy. You know, there are two guys that could be playing in other programs and just sitting. But they decided that, you know what, this is where I'm going to be, in large part because of that guy, because of Coach Sampson. Here he is talking about Cougs graduating.
Our fans reacted when they heard that all our kids graduate. All our kids graduate every year. Every year. Our graduation rate is probably over 90%. Because I can count on one hand the ones that haven't graduated. You know, Quentin Grimes didn't graduate. Marcus Sasser did. Jamal did. Jairus Walker did not. Because both of those, Jairus and Quentin, went to the NBA early. Kingston will go to the NBA. He's not going to graduate. Chris won't graduate. But hopefully one day they will. But all the kids that stay here will graduate. If you play 4 years here, you're going to graduate. And it's not because of me or our program. It's because of their mothers and fathers. I had a great college coach. He had nothing to do with me graduating from college. I had my mom and daddy. And Emmanuel's mother and father are both college graduates. So is Milos's. So is Kingston's. Chris's. These parents today are invested in their children like never before. I mean, it's great. That's why it does my heart good to see how all the young people here in the media. Because 30 years ago, it wasn't like that. But you guys are going to carry the torch for the next generation.
Yep.
I love that.
I got to play around with Kelvin, and afterwards, man, just the stories were so good. He said Jairus Walker, you know, Jairus Walker was one of the top guys in the country. He was going to be a NBA first round pick after his freshman year, and he said, man, he wasn't playing well, and I just benched him, and he wasn't getting minutes, and his daddy came up to me and he said, you do whatever you need to do, coach. And I agree wholeheartedly. If he's not playing well, then don't play him. And Kelvin Sampson said, you don't hear that out of star players' parents. Mm-hmm. He said, that's why Jairus Walker will be a great man, is because he had great parenting. And you know, that's something that is so rare. Like you just talked about, I want to be out there. I want to be, you know, it's all about me now. One guy in the SEC graduated. One guy in the SEC was a four-year player. One guy in the entire SEC. Last night was this week is his last game. And that's it. Mississippi State kid. That's from Shadow Creek High School, actually. He one player lasted 4 years.
Wait,
at one
hold
school.
On. That's crazy.
Yes, one player. That's it. That's going to be graduating this year.
Man, I love the SEC. That's why it means more.
Yeah,
like, literally, it
does
means
mean more.
Because one kid means more to the SEC than anybody else.
Speaking of which.
SEC!
You're damn right. And speaking of which, did you hear Sean Miller talking about Darius Acuff?
No.
Holy crap.
I've read it, and I need to hear it because it is intense.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, we'll do that. Yeah. That's the Arkansas guard, he's a freshman. He ain't lasting very long there. We got some big news coming out of baseball. Nice job, Raheel.
Nice job.
Nice job. Nice.
This is
well
all
done.
On you.
This is all on you.
We'll
nice
we'll
job.
We'll tell you what happened next.
Yep, on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
This is Danny Clark, owner of Collector's Firearms. If you're in the market for a new or used gun or accessory, don't wait for the gun show to roll through town. With over 10,000 guns in stock, we have what you're looking for. We're open Monday through Saturday every week of the year. Tactical, hunting, pistols, revolvers, rifles, and much, much more. All in stock, ready to go. Whether you're a beginner or expert, our staff will take care of you at Collector's Firearms on West Hammer and Boss. Look for the tank out front, collectorsfirearms.com.
Hi, I'm Kirsten Stokes, third-generation neighborhood hardware store owner. For 72 years, Stokes Hardware has proudly served our community with everything from plumbing to paint and power tools and more. We're family-owned, three generations strong, a small business with competitive pricing. Come see our knowledgeable team today. Hablamos Español. Shop local, save more, follow Stokes Hardware on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Stokes Hardware, your neighborhood store since 1954.
Big news at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Their water park, Blue Bayou Bend, opens May 1st with a grand opening celebration on May 9th. Lazy River Days, swim-up bar sips, and live music nights, all just 90 minutes from Houston. Whether you're booking a waterfront cabin, bringing the RV, or planning a glamping getaway, this brand-new water park is your reason to lock in dates early. Make it a weekend. Make it a memory. Reserve your spot today at twocreekscrossingresort.com.
Oh, and that's a hard foul. Let's listen for the call on the floor.
The taxpayer owes back taxes. Penalties and interest are assessed and wage garnishments to begin immediately.
The IRS never misses that call. I wonder if they will challenge it.
The call is under review.
Priority Tax Relief has been called in for a review. Priority is the best in the business at negotiating your tax debt and has even eliminated the debt for some clients. Priority Tax Relief is saving their clients millions of dollars every month.
After a careful review from Priority Tax Relief, the debt has been eliminated. No foul on the play.
Whoa! That completely changes the game, folks.
If you owe more than $5,000, call Priority Tax Relief, and in minutes they'll review your case for free with a direct line to the IRS to see if you qualify for life-changing relief. No more worrying about wage garnishments or frozen bank accounts. Call Priority Tax Relief today at 800-584-7531. That's 800-584-7531.
We make your tax relief our priority.
Call now. Priority Tax Relief.
Brinkman Quality Roofing, a local family-owned business, has 50 years' experience in roof repairs, roof maintenance, and roof replacements on both homes and businesses. Brinkman's workmanship is backed by the largest roofing manufacturers against leaks for up to 30 years. Brinkman has 100% financing available and free, no-obligation estimates. Brinkman Quality Roofing is the one to call at 281-480-ROOF. That's 281-480-ROOF, or go to BrinkmanQuality.com.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband Ryan died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/game. That's ethos.com/game. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Every 40 seconds, a child is reported missing. Find the Children is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping find missing kids. You can be a part of their mission by donating your unwanted car. Call 1-800-294-0222. You'll receive the maximum tax deduction, and we provide fast, free pickup. Call 1-800-294-0222. Donate your unwanted or unused car. Call 1-800-294-0222. This advertisement was paid for in partnership with Cars R Us and Find the Children.
Follow ESPN Houston on social media at ESPN 97.5.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. So, Jeremy Pena, this would have happened anywhere, anytime. Ground ball, Jeremy Pena, I don't know, he kind of fractured a little finger or something. Going to miss. It's not horrible. It's not like Altuve where he got hit and broke his hand and he's going to miss months. The thought is he's just going to miss the first round of the WBC. So we'll see.
Just come home then. You're going to miss the first round. Just come home.
Just come home.
What are we doing? This is a made-for-TV tournament.
Yeah.
Did
you see the crowd in the Dominican Republic?
It was hyped.
Did you see the fight between Mexico and Canada?
Yeah, that's because that's just baseball dudes being baseball dudes. Like, hey, don't unwritten rules led to that fight. Not because of the country love. It was they were just breaking all sorts of unwritten rules. Could have happened in a spring training game.
I think they were just trying to show Trump, you know, who's tougher.
Is a tryout?
Yeah, which border country is tougher, right? And you can't push around.
So the initial reporting
of the small fracture. I'm going to butcher his name. Dionisio Soldevilla or Soldevilla. He is the only one who has said that it's a fracture. He then put out a tweet that says, Nelson Cruz reports that the initial x-rays to which Jeremy Pena was subjected are not clear enough, and this Friday he will undergo an MRI to confirm the condition of his finger. So as it stands now, even the reporter who said small fracture is getting some pushback because the people with the DR aren't sure.
But it's an injury.
It's an injury, but they don't know if it's a fracture, if he'll miss time. He's the only one who said they'll miss time because Brian McTaggart has a write-up about it, and he says an MRI is coming to determine the extent of the injury.
Oh, no. This could be one of those things where we're like, ah, look, it's not that bad. He could have he took one more at-bat. Maybe he comes back after this round. But it also feels like one of those things that could linger all season long.
Yeah, I mean,
who knows?
Yeah, but you know what? This is not like, yeah. I mean, this is how many ground balls is he going to take? And it took a bad hop on him. And I'm not blaming the WBC for this.
It was just baseball.
That's
just baseball.
Those are the crappy WBC fields.
What?
Let's blame it on them.
You're going to attack the Dominican Republic?
We're attacking the field.
Wow.
In the DR. That's what you're attacking.
This right after he attacks Turkey.
Well, it's what he does.
Yeah.
He attacks countries he's never been to.
And then he runs. Is he going to be here for the fallout next week? No.
No, not a chance.
That's y'all's problem.
Yeah, see?
Then he runs. Yeah. Yeah, so that's embarrassing.
This would not have happened in a spring training field.
You don't know that. It wouldn't have happened yesterday because it's just happenstance, but you don't know that an American field would have prevented an injury at some point.
American fields.
You think that foreign fields are inferior?
Yeah.
Oh God, that's
wow.
Where would you rather play, on a Dominican field or?
I don't know. I was
like, they care more.
I saw. Well, they would for their guys. It's their guys. I saw that field. It seemed fine.
Looks terrible.
Yeah. You haven't even seen it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Anyway. Yeah. Jeremy Pena. We don't know. Yeah. You're right. Soldevilla is the only one that's reported that. So Brian McTaggart just said he was pulled from the game. He said that Soldevilla is the one who reported it. He's not taking responsibility for that. We'll see. So they're going to have an MRI tomorrow, and we'll find out what the deal is with Jeremy Pena. Hopefully it's not a fracture, and hopefully he gets back. If he gets back to the World Baseball Classic, then I ain't worried about nothing, right? Although they are going to try to push him. You know, he is going to try to push to be there for the, even though he's from Connecticut, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Jeremy Pena.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, but that's like if I was offered a chance to play on
the Pakistan Indian team?
On the Pakistan team, I would love that. Like, that'd be cool, right? Because
Hayden was asked to play on the Indian team.
I guess she would have the ability. I don't know the rules. She could play for India, Pakistan, and the United States.
She could play for all three?
Yeah.
All three.
But she wants to play for the United States.
Is she going
to
be like the greatest Indian athlete ever in the United States history?
She's Pakistani.
Yes, first of all.
Her heritage is from Pakistan.
No, because everybody's going to probably say she's Indian. No,
why would everyone say that?
No.
Yeah,
no, we're gonna.
Why? Mama's Indian. She's gonna be Indian.
No, her mama's not Indian. She's 25% Indian.
Oh well, but she's a great Indian athlete. That's what.
Hayden?
Pakistan.
Yeah, Hayden. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna go with. Whenever she gets
although
on,
the Pakistani
when she plays
people,
for UT,
all the Pakistani people are gonna be like Hayden. Hold on,
they probably won't
Hold
like
on.
That.
What?
Yeah. What is a typical female name in
it ain't Hayden?
No, I know it ain't Hayden. You Americanize that something fierce. What's a typical
like with an H, like Henna,
like Nishma? I never heard of that name before.
Nishma,
your wife
Henna would be a
it's good Fatima. Like H.
Fatima,
yeah,
that's Alani's middle name. Fatima.
And Aisha, which
Aisha, that's the, Aisha.
Aisha, but
that's
if
my
you,
sister-in-law's
but
name.
Where I'm from.
Aisha.
We say Aisha.
Yeah, and Fatima.
Yeah.
You would say Fatima.
Yeah, I would say Fatima because I know how it's said. I wouldn't say Fatima.
But in Living Color, right? That's where Queen Latifah's character is named Fatima.
You
right,
are,
is that right?
In you are in a realm like Lou Cornette's in a realm. Don't just watch yourself. And Living Color was the comedy show. You mean Living Single?
Living Single.
See, he can't. You can't. Sorry, you sorry, can't. Yeah. You got to stay out of this.
My bad. Yeah. Living Single. My bad.
Messed up. And Living Color was a sketch show.
Yeah, yeah.
Living Single was a comedy show, Living but Single, it was like sorry. A sitcom. I don't remember what Queen Latifah's name was. Now I have to look it up because now I feel bad. But
oh no, it was Khadija.
Isn't it
Khadija.
Fatima?
No, it's not. It's Khadija.
It was Khadija.
Yeah, but either way, we have a future star Pakistani Indian American athlete who can make her choice. Will she be like Eileen Gu and choose to participate for a country where she wasn't born, or will she be like Alyssa Liu who decided to participate for America despite her dad coming over from China and her mom being a surrogate?
Who's going to give her the bag? That's the big thing.
Oh, she's got to get paid.
Because didn't China give the athlete $7 million?
Eileen Gu got paid.
She got paid to
compete for China. Yeah.
Yeah. So whoever gives her the bag to play on their roster, that's where she's going.
Hmm.
You know who's not going to recruit Hayden? Coach Kelvin Sampson, because I will be like, money.
Toxic dad.
Toxic dad. Give me the money. Who's going to offer us the most money?
You stay and watch the practice on TV, okay?
Yeah.
That's they what put you, us that, in the, I, we got to get you out of the
in
picture.
In the parent cuck room, that's what it is.
You just get to watch.
It's like, go sit
don't
the corner.
Participate at all.
That's
we,
it.
We don't need you around.
You just sit there and watch.
Wow. Okay, well, so that's probably best for the parents to be separated. But once you make your decision about your daughter, then – the when Love LOVB is still around and she's going to compete for Pakistan in some world tournament,
India.
Now you'll Pakistan in the father's eyes. Then you'll have to deal with the fallout if she gets hurt participating in some made for TV tournament, just like you going after Jeremy Pena.
No, because the only made for TV tournament in women's volleyball is the Olympics, and that's like a real tournament that goes back. Centuries.
Well, the pros don't play in baseball in the Olympics, so this is their real tournament.
They should be.
Well, they don't do that.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
It's the real tournament here.
Yeah. The guys want this more than they want a World Series.
Who does?
Latin American players. They want to win
that.
The World Baseball Classic.
The ones who aren't in MLB?
No, the ones who play for major league teams.
Yeah.
They all said they'd rather, like, majority?
They did a survey.
And they said, yeah.
And the Latin American players.
Not all, but a
number of them are like, yeah, I want to do this. I want to win this.
I want to win this over a World Series.
Yeah.
You get to put on your country's colors and
that's
go compete.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
I mean, the people in the country would much rather have this. They care more about this than they do the World Series. Why would they care about the Mets winning the World Series? Just because one of their guys was there.
Yeah.
If you put on Venezuela or Argentina or whatever uniform, you're playing for your country, brother.
Same as the World Cup?
Yeah. Yeah.
Feel the
it's
same
made
way.
For TV tournament, too?
Okay.
When
do they stop being made for TV tournaments? Like, we could say about the playoffs here, because you know what? A lot of leagues around the world go single table. We just play a regular season. That turns a champion. The NBA playoffs are made for TV tournament, too.
Yeah. It was actually that one was legit made for TV. Right? The NBA playoffs.
Yeah, they're
they
all.
They have to send those tapes out to everybody. Hey, guys, look, here's what we're cooking up.
Yeah. So I get what you're saying. It's new. There's not a lot of tradition. But if it continues for another three decades, then it'll be a different view of it, particularly if the pros continue to want to play in it.
How many World Baseball Classic games have y'all watched? Be honest. Full games.
In the past?
In the
zero?
History. Yeah.
I don't think I've watched. I've watched when I knew that Otani and Trout. When I saw that might be a thing, because they were kind of, you see what happens if this comes, if it goes this way, this might happen. So I locked in the last time around. But it's baseball. You're asking the wrong person. I want baseball to play 100 games and end the season.
Well, and I'm not from the Dominican anymore, so I don't watch it. Okay.
It's been around since 2006, and we haven't watched a single
game. Not one game.
I've seen minutes, but
we're
not talking
about us. We don't care
about
this.
You're talking
it's America. We care about the World Series, not this.
We're not talking about how we feel about it.
Yeah.
But the players who participate feel differently.
Yeah.
That's why Correa was not thrilled he couldn't play. Altuve the same way.
Yeah.
They wanted to go play.
It's also
it's also spring training. Who wants to be
a long season?
Who wants to be in spring training?
They should just put this in the middle of the baseball season. That would be so much
better. Dude, spring training is cool. You get in at bat and then you leave and you go play golf. Hey, guys, you know what? Hey, Skip, I'm going to play three innings and then I'm out of here. I got a tee time.
Altuve still wants to participate in spring training if he had a choice?
No, get ready for the season, yeah.
I'm talking about WBC or spring training. That's what I'm saying.
WBC.
When he has the option, of course those guys want to go instead of dredging through spring training when they can go play for Venezuela or Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Or it's too –
What?
Everybody cares. I don't want to care right now.
They don't they feel like you do. You athletes. Just said they don't feel like
they
you do.
They want to compete, man.
Yeah. Well, no. It's too much. I'm tired.
It's too much for you. You're yawning while you're saying this.
Yeah,
it's too much
I'm
for you.
Tired. I don't need all that. I don't need all that.
And this is how Jeremy
all that intensity in early this. On playoff baseball before the season even starts. Nah.
Well, the Astros might want to take advantage. I don't know if they're going to be participating in playoff baseball.
Oh,
why?
I don't know if you're still there. Even if Pena's hurt, we're good.
I'm not talking about Pena. I'm talking about the team overall. I had that opinion before he may have fractured his finger.
Yeah, it's just a little baby fracture on the tip of his finger.
That's not why I think they may not make the playoffs.
Yeah, okay. Until next week he's getting
this
surgery.
He's going to kick everybody's ass. Let's go.
Yeah, it feels like that, doesn't it?
All right, you know who else is kicking ass? And that's John Clay Wolf. He's kicking ass every day, taking names. He's kicking ass because he gives you more for your car. It's a hunk of metal, okay? So unless you're giving it, you know, I'm going to sell it to my nephew or pass it down to my kids, whatever, that's fine. You should do that. You don't want as much money as you can for it. But if you're just selling it on the open market, get as much as you can. And you get as much as you can at Give Me the VIN. You're going to sell a car, you have to know. Because, listen, historically, well, you go into the dealership, well, here's the blue book on it. That's all I can give you. John Clay Wolf's like, screw the blue book. Watch this. Watch this. Hold my beer while I give you a price for your vehicle. Because it's going to be more than blue book. It's going to be more than CarMax. It's going to be more than the dealership. It's going to be more. Make sure that you go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. And if it's not, you go back to John Clay Wolf and say, look, I have a verified offer from CarMax. You going to beat it? And John Clay Wolf says, yeah, I'm going to beat it. Or every once in a while he says, that's a dumb offer. Go take it. Go get that. Because that's way more than you should be getting for your car. God bless. Go grab it. And that's what that happens. But John Clay Wolf is one of the biggest and the best because that doesn't happen too often. He buys cars and he gives you more. And then he sells them for less at auction. That's it. He makes less money. But he does more volume because you get more. Every single time. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's where you have to go. GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5. It's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 713-780-3776. Get Chris in here in a minute. I'm looking at a position probability in the first round for every team. The Texans have one of the highest percentages of any position. They will take an offensive lineman with their first pick. 71% of all 74 mock drafts have them taking an offensive lineman. Like, there's only, like, Las Vegas, 100% have them taking a quarterback. Yeah. 100%. Minnesota has a 79% chance of taking a defensive back in the first round. Seattle has a 72% chance of taking a defensive back. And then the Texans, 71% taking an offensive lineman.
Is there a percentage out there, will they be moving up or are they going to stay pat?
They don't have that.
They don't have that. But I get the sense that they're going to move up.
I don't They might. I don't know that that's the best. I don't know. I certainly don't want to see him move back again and then, you know, draft a second-round offensive lineman again. Nothing against Ariante, but the other second-round, I mean, Juice, how'd that work out? Just let's let's get a guy. You see a guy, and if you move up, I guess if you move up, that's fine. Just don't give up too much to move up. He's pretty flippant with his draft picks. Yeah. Not as flippant as the Rams. Holy crap. They just don't give a rat's ass about first-round picks.
Well, they didn't, and then they did, and now they don't anymore.
Yeah. Well, when did they?
Well, they had kept their picks when they could have them over the last couple of years. They weren't doling them out because they were trying to get cheaper
really?
On defense.
Name all those picks that they kept.
Well, Jared Verse.
One.
And you look at what they've done over but outside.
2017, traded it to the Titans. 18, Patriots. 19, Falcons. 20, Jags. 21, Jags. 22, Lions. 23, Lions. That Jared Verse in 24, Falcons in 25, traded to the Chiefs this year.
Well,
they don't give a rat's ass.
Well, they have kept picks. What I'm saying is they were paying the piper for all those years, and they had kind of they had kept some of their day two guys and also obviously Jared Verse because they needed to get cheaper. And they were paying Stafford, and of course, they have made moves like Devontae Adams, and that's where some of that salary is going. But this is a move because Stafford's got a year, and the stat was last year, they gave up 9 games of 100-plus yards to receivers, an individual receiver. Only the Pittsburgh Steelers had more of those. I think Pittsburgh did it 11 times. So they're like, you know what? Stafford may have a year left. Devontae Adams, we're going to probably get off of him after 2026. We're going for it one more time. And that's why they make the move.
Yeah, I know. Obvious. And, by the way, he's a really, really good player. And you gave up a first and a fourth and whatever. You give up, you know. But they don't care. They're like, we're going to go right now. F them picks. That's the shirt Les wore at the parade. F them picks. So, yeah, that's it. They don't believe that you got to have first-round picks, and they're right. They're a good team every year because they got really good players. Now they're paying. They have to pay more for guys who are established already. And but they're still really, really, really good. And in large part, like you're right, because of Stafford.
By the way, I don't think we said what the trade was for. It's Trent McDuffie.
All-pro corner from the Chiefs.
Yeah. They
who's going to get his extension when he signs with the Rams.
Yeah, yep. Man, yeah, he's really, really good. So,
yeah, would you rather have him or a first-rounder?
You'd rather have him. You also got to pay him, though.
Yeah, but they don't care about that. They want to win. Well, they're like, we'll build through that.
Right. But it catches up at some point, though, because you can't have – you got to have – well, although they do have – you know, they do a really good job in the later rounds, too. Yeah. They got a lot of young, good players, too.
They've been able to hit on day two and day three picks, which has allowed them to go shopping for star players with their first-rounders. Like this started back in 17, obviously. They had to trade up to get Jared Goff the previous year, so they didn't have a pick in 17, and that's where it all started. And they traded – now they did trade the 25 pick for more picks, so it wasn't like they went out and got a star player. They wanted more – ways to supplement their roster, so they did it that way. Yeah, I mean, Les Snead isn't conventional, and when you have an aging star quarterback, what are you going to do? You're just going to sit around for a year?
No.
If you have a real problem,
you got to go for it.
After this year, they will have first round picks. So that I guess next year maybe a quarterback. They'll look for a quarterback, maybe, if they can find one,
or
if Stafford retires.
Yeah, or they'll grab a guy in the third this year and see. You know, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. You've got some third-rounders that have made it in the league. Russell Wilson is one. Brett Favre was a second-rounder. I mean, there's all kinds of – it happens. So we'll see. Maybe they draft a quarterback this year. Well, the thought was they were going to get Ty Simpson in the first this year, but they're not anymore.
Yuck.
Ty Simpson fan?
First-rounder Ty Simpson?
Late, though. I mean, basically a second-rounder at that point.
I mean, I saw what he did the back half of the year. I'm good.
Yeah, he wasn't good, but he also didn't have any running game. Holy crap.
If you're the Rams.
If you know they're going to pass every single down, though, I mean, it's easier.
But if you're the Rams and you know your scenario where you've got Stafford, are you? By the way, they also have another first rounder. By the way, So they did trade away 29, but they it was easier for them because they had made a previous trade to acquire a first rounder. So they still do have a first round pick, which they can use on something else. If you're the Rams, and this is Stafford and Devonta Adams last year, you want Ty Simpson hanging around? Beat it, Ty Simpson. Go draft like a – well, you get your corner. I don't know what else they need. Go draft the safety if you lose Cam Curl because he might be a guy that they don't want to pay. Dan Orlovsky is Ty Simpson's biggest fan. I'm sure he would have loved to have him.
Has he watched all his games yet?
I don't know if that's happened yet. I know as of like a week and a half ago, he had still only watched about eight of all the quarterbacks, I guess. But
who's his agent?
I don't know.
And who's Ben Dozer's agent?
I don't know. But he is like Ty Simpson from like the jump this year.
Yeah. That's Arch's best friend.
Well, he's going to die.
Ty Simpson?
Yeah. Did you know that? They had this friendship.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they talked about it before.
Who?
Arch and Ty Simpson.
Oh, yeah.
Before that Oklahoma game, they were talking about how Arch and Ty are homies, and they were exchanging notes on how to beat OU and what to do the rest of the season.
Well, I'm glad Arch told Ty after that first loss what you need to do, because remember, they played twice. Yeah. Ty Simpson lost the first time and won the second. So Oklahoma can blame Arch for another loss beyond the first one they got from him. So, yeah, the Rams have the 13th pick, Atlanta's 13th pick, because of the trade they made last year. So they still have a premium pick to improve beyond what they did with Trent McDuffie.
Nice. All right, let's break. We'll get you, Chris, we'll get you in. Anybody else wants in, 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here to hang out with us this morning on ESPN 97.5. I'm talking about the ultimate mortgage hookup right now. If you're in your car, you have a mortgage that's at 7, you need to call Kent Jones. You don't know the math on this thing. He knows the math on it, okay? Whether or not you should refi. And maybe Kent Jones will tell you, I kind of feel like the mortgage rates are still going to go down more. Let's wait. Let's hold. Or you can lock in or whatever the case may be. He knows because he's done incredible. I mean, he's been doing it 31 years. Okay, Better Business, triple. He's got an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. 713-520-5626. Call him. You don't have to make a commitment to him. You just tell him, hey, call me when you think. Here's my mortgage. Here's how much. I'm going to be in this home for a while. Call me when you think that maybe I should lock in on a new rate and refi. And Kent Jones will do that. It'll stand over here till we're ready, okay? Now, if you're buying a new home, there's no question this is the guy that you need because he knows he's got the wholesalers that are lined up. He's been doing this for so long. He knows the right mortgage for you. He knows the right agent for you, the right title company for you. He knows. He just knows more than you do on this thing. And if you want to save thousands of dollars, okay. If you don't want to save thousands of dollars, do it yourself. But that's kind of dumb. 713-520-LOAN, 713-520-5626, or 975loans.com.
Dream Rate Mortgage, LLC, NMLS number 2482473. Jay Kent Jones, NMLS number 356118, equal housing lender.
ESPN 97.5. In the Ferrari and Jaguar, switching four lanes on top down,
streaming out money in the bank. You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Chris in the Woodlands was here. I think Lance is trying to call in. Are you?
Whoa. That's what he said.
That's what it is. So are you going to actually take the call? The intern didn't even put him on hold.
That's what he said. Do I trust Lance to be correct on
that? No, apparently he's in a bar there. He's probably drunk.
Drunk, so. Are we sure he didn't just hang up?
Why is he calling in on vacation?
He did it already.
But like, that was breaking news.
It's like midnight there, and he's drunk. That's
he's bored
why.
And
he's drunk dialing us.
He called in earlier because it was a monumental trade. It was one that changed the direction of this franchise.
The Titus Howard trade?
The Titus Howard trade.
Wow. Did it really?
Yeah. Where were you when Titus Howard got traded?
I was getting you from downstairs.
I'm the one who told Dell, And the look on his face, it was just blank. He was like, what? Titus
No,
Howard?
It was blank because I was like, oh, whatever.
No, you're like, damn it. Now that's the first hour of the show.
No, it's better than what he wanted to do. He wanted to talk about Heat Rockets. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Chris. I know he was.
Let's get Chris in here. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. Love coming back to some Jermaine Dupri there to intro. Quick question, John. I didn't know if you'd thought about this when talking about Jeremy Pena's injury. And I don't mean this jokingly, but like I know we've had a lot of issues with the Astros and injuries and fractures and not getting MRIs and thinking people are healthy. Do we know, like, in the world? And I do mean that kind of seriously, but I know you guys joked about it.
Is he better off to have Dominican doctors than the Astros? Possibly.
So that's what I was just going to ask. Like, do the Astros step in, and since he's under contract with the Astros, do they go send their guys down there, or is it strictly where Dominican – like, how does all that – I didn't know if you guys
– I would prefer he was playing
– I wasn't sure.
I would prefer he was playing for India right now, if you want to know the truth, because of their doctors. But I don't know – what the doctor situation
let's not,
is?
Let's not let Johnny Granati start talking about races right now. I feel like I'm on the South Bay Wolf Show.
I'm just saying.
This is what you signed up for, Chris.
Yeah. I'm just, you asked. I just feel like he would be in a much better situation if he was playing for India. But I don't know. I guess they're going to, but the Astros have to be concerned, I would imagine. And they're going to go, hey, let our doctors in. He'd be like, I'm good.
Yeah, have you seen what
I got? I'm all right here. I'm okay with the doctors here. Nothing against the Astros doctors. It's the training staff that got released, right? But yeah, it's been a problem. There's no question. It's been a problem. I didn't even think about that. Is he in better care? I don't know.
If the Astros wanted to send their doctors down there, all Jeremy Pena would do is send them a clip of the Kyle Tucker stuff and go, look, here's talk of him being back at one point, and then he's back months later because you can diagnose a fracture. I'd rather talk to my guys here in the DR, all right? Because they can't be worse than what you guys are on.
Right.
Yeah. The doctors in Santo Domingo, probably better.
I mean, if we're just going by...
We are the medical capital of the nation and probably the world here. The best medical center.
I would agree.
And yet we can't solve this one thing.
I would agree, except we have evidence to suggest whoever the Astros are using, however the information's being given to the actual doctors, there's something lost in translation. So I would prefer the guys, you know, they care about their countrymen. They're going to take care of them.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. They want him back. Now, that's a problem, too. Get back out there. You're fine.
We got doctors.
Rub some dirt on it. You're fine.
We're making it sound like the Astros have Dr. Nick from The Simpsons.
I mean... until proven otherwise. No, or they're that kid doctor who pretended to be a doctor, the kid who used to take pictures with his fist on his chin, or his chin on his fist.
Oh, yeah,
that kid with the mohawk.
Huge. Yeah. Or the Family Guy doctor.
Oh, yeah.
He's great. I love that doctor.
This is a world-class organization, guys.
I don't know. I don't want to make fun of the Astros doctors, but... Okay, that's something we shouldn't do. It was the training staff.
Aren't they medical professionals, right? Too? The training staff? Right?
I don't know that they're medical professionals.
Wait, most of them are.
They have to. Don't you have to be?
Well, the training staff, like you got
physical therapists.
They don't have doctors.
I don't mean doctors, but when an injury happens, immediately at the game, they have to be someone who can handle that, right?
Yeah, and there's usually an ortho on staff.
Yeah. So I'm not, yes, the doctors in the Met Center would, I think they could handle it, but I don't know what happens between Daikin and whoever they consider their team doctor because something's amiss. But they have done things to try to correct it, so we'll see what happens this year.
Yeah. Yep. 713-780-3776. Didn't even think of that, Chris. That's, I'm fine with him being there. 713-780-3776. Did Lance call back in?
Anjin did not call back.
No, Anjin.
Anjin. That's his new name. Anjin.
Anjin.
Lance-san. Lance-san. He sent us a picture yesterday. He sent us a video yesterday.
What was it? He was making a knife, right? Or something as well? Like he was banging.
I thought he was making golf clubs.
No, he's not making golf clubs.
Oh,
no, he was making a knife.
He was making a knife?
Yeah.
Oh, you can't take that with you. Oh, I guess he could put it in his luggage.
Yeah, he's just check it in.
Yeah.
Plus, he's white. It's okay.
Well, that too.
I could see him trying to take it on the plane. What? I just made it here. I'm good.
I'm sure there. I don't know how that goes about. Maybe he has to ship it. I don't know. But he won't run into the problem some other people's will.
No.
What?
No, he's because he's white?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know if you've heard. He just said that.
I said because he's white.
I know, but that's not. That's not true.
Go on.
White people don't get away with stuff.
All he has to do is put a note in his bag like, hey, guys, it's cool. I'm white.
Don't you remember Barry Switzer trying to take a gun on a plane? He's white.
No, but that's taking a gun on the plane. We're talking about just checking the knife into his bag and, like, checking the bag in, and it's not on him, so he'll be fine.
Yeah. No. He could pack it in his bag. Bring that knife home, Lance. I want to see how terrible it is.
Yeah,
he was like, I don't get it. I'm this guy is corrected me every step of the way because you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, he's like,
because you're a stupid American. That's why.
Engine, what are you doing?
Engine, you don't know anything.
Okay, so you ask Google, yes, you can bring most knives in a checked bag when flying within or from the U.S.
Yeah. Why would you secure the blade? You can't get to it. Why would you not be able to take a blade with it?
I thought the video you guys were talking about is when he was in a rickshaw.
Oh, yeah, with the human.
With the human carrying him.
Yes. Yeah, the rickshaws with humans pulling it is...
Yeah,
for those of you that... I was like, goodness gracious, Lance.
For those of you who don't know, Lance is in Japan right now. His wife just ran the marathon there, so they're taking a trip. And he sent us a video where there's human-drawn rickshaws. Like, there's one man pulling two or three people. It's crazy.
Yeah, and I was... I didn't feel good about that at all.
When Lance sat on it, they're like, damn it, I want to pull this big German guy.
Yeah. Good thing the wife's little.
That's the word. Like, oh, man. But, oh, this one's broken. Go to that one.
Yeah.
I would not watch.
Speaking of little, did you guys see Kyler Murray in the Minnesota airport yesterday?
Stop. Stop, John. He's about to get released. He's a man who's uncertain about his future, and you're making jokes about him.
I got one I'm looking at right now.
He can't
reach the counter. He's little.
That is my favorite bit. We've been doing that since Kyler got drafted.
Yeah. Kyler Murray was spotted in the Minnesota airport.
It's just a little person.
That little person, yeah. Yep.
It looks like a mini Larry Fitzgerald is what it looks
it
like.
It does.
Like they shrunk him.
Like they shrunk Larry Fitzgerald for the bit.
I think it is him.
I love the bit.
What was the one that with the cars? Remember that? There's a mini car somebody was driving in Detroit. I'll send you that one. That was my favorite one.
And then they zoom in and Kyler's driving.
Yeah.
What was it, a Matchbox?
No, it was in Detroit, and there was like this little car, a street legal car.
Oh.
There's a big accident, and this little car just zooms up and does a U-turn. And there he goes, is everything all right? And everyone was like, oh, Kyler's here. I got to put this on Twitter again. I got to find it.
All right, 713-780-3776. That's hour number one. We got one in the book. We got two to go, 713-780-3776.